thanks to our guest today, who is far more aware and and up to everything, up to snuff on this kind of music. And we're going to talk to him right now, Gautam Tejas Ganeshan. Good morning to you.
Yes, thank you. Good to be here.
It's so great to have you here. I know that you were here a year ago, and we're bringing you back. It's almost auspicious that when I look back, I see it was like exactly a year ago that you were on the air.
Is that so?
Yeah. I think it was the 5th of February or something, or January. So we welcome you back to the KPFA on-air studios, to Music of the World. Gosh, I don't know where to begin. You are so accomplished. So you sing, you write your own lyrics.
Yes.
And you head up the Sangati Center.
Yes.
And
I do those things, yeah.
To me, that's impressive, to run a venue, and it's a very rarefied venue. Why don't you start, Gautam, by telling us about the Sangati Center?
Okay. The Sangati Center is essentially a concert series of Indian classical music that I've been running since 2006. And that about sums it up. I mean, we've done over 400 concerts in that time in San Francisco, Oakland, and Berkeley, with the past few years being mostly in Berkeley at the Subterranean Art House on Bancroft, which is a great place for our concerts. They're chamber concerts, which is to say all acoustic and all in kind of one room. There's a lot of interaction between the audience and the musicians, and all of you should come to a concert soon.
I agree. Let's have right off the bat, so people who are multitasking, as we so often do in our culture, what's the website for Sangati?
SangatiCenter.org. S-A-N-G-A-T-I Center.org.
That's wonderful. And so you have this special idea as the venue, and it's very traditional in other cultures, but perhaps, well, it was probably traditional in the 19th, 18th, 17th centuries of this country, that there is no amplification other than just being in the room and the audience as acoustical material, if you will. Receptors, receivers.
Yeah, the monitors are the audience rather than monitor speakers.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, every time I get asked this question, I hasten to say I'm not against amplification overall. But in these concerts, we're aiming at a certain kind of experience, which is, I think, too rare. And so we're trying to hold down the fort with respect to one valuable kind of musical concert experience, both for the sake of musicians who like performing without the headaches of sound, headaches of speakers and amplification and sound checks, and for the audience for whom it becomes more of a direct, unmediated experience. And I think it's been pretty well received, and by now, you know, there are what's interesting is there's a generation of musicians who've grown up with the Sangati Center now, because it's been around for 7 years, who've gone from teenagers to young adults, knowing that it's there. And so it has done its job keeping that style of concert alive in this area.
It's like chamber music. It's beautiful. And I think it's probably an excellent tonic for that generation that you describe of the young people who have grown up and having that experience. If you think about it, there are probably millions of Americans who haven't ever had that experience and may have forgotten that it even exists, or that it ever existed.
That may be true, yeah. At the same time, there are a lot of people who kind of miss it. And in general, you know, it's like the difference between processed food and unprocessed food. The more production that goes into something, sometimes some of the essentials can be flattened out. That's not to say that sometimes value isn't added. It sometimes is if it's done right. But yeah, there's a lot of people for whom this is the height of musical experience, and other things are some kind of a compromise. But you know, things have to be right. The hall has to be well suited for this kind of thing, and there are certain places where amplification undoundoubly helps
it's
the concert.
It's necessary.
Yeah. And in
arenas.
Terms of balance, oh, yeah, well,
sports arenas, for example.
Right. I can't imagine Beyonce at the Super Bowl, you know, giving an unamplified concert.
Unamplified and a cappella.
Yeah.
Oh, I somehow, if anyone could do it, by golly, it would be Beyonce.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm Sally Phillips. I'm here on Music of the World with my guest, Gautam Tejas Ganeshan. Ganeshan.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the accents. So it's great to have you here, and you are going to, would you like to sing for us and
sure.
talk about what it is that you're going to sing? I know you write
yeah.
in English. You
yeah.
write your lyrics in English.
I
as
do.
So you're not transcribing an ancient Carnatic text.
Not exactly. So a few things. One, most of the repertoire of Carnatic music that's sung nowadays is not that ancient. The music may have ancient roots, but the songs and the way that they're presented now, I mean, the songs themselves were written in the late 18th century and beyond. Some of the songs that have a lot of currency now were written in the 20th century, I suspect, probably even in the 21st. That's one thing. And no, my songs are not translations. Occasionally, I do draw content and inspiration from the subject matter of the original song, which serves as the model for my song. More often, I am careful less about keeping meaning, and in the domain of meaning, I just aim for authenticity of what I'm trying to say. But with respect to musical elements like prosody and where the, you know, how the melody fits with the song and all of that, I at some point realized even if I spent my whole lifetime, I couldn't improve on generations upon generations of finely honed material. Just spending an effort to do it justice is enough of a purpose for me as far as the fixed stuff. There's also a lot of improvisation and that in that domain I can express myself.
And that is
well.
Part of the tradition, of course.
Yeah, very much so.
In Southern Indian and Northern Indian music
mm-hmm.
Alike. Well, why don't you present us with something
okay.
now? We're happy to hear you.
All right, here we go. In all my life, I've yet to meet the one who. In all my life, I've yet to meet the one who. In all my life, I've yet to meet the one who. In all my life, I've yet to meet the one who. Come what may, maintains a vantage on you. Till now, in all my life, I've yet to meet the one who. Come what may, maintains a vantage on you. Till now, in all my life, I've yet to meet the one who. Come what may, maintain the vantage on you. Till now, in all my life, I've yet to meet the one who. He's my friend who can tell your story. My friend who can tell your story. He's my friend who can tell your story. He's my friend
who can tell your stories, my friend, who can tell this strange story, he's my friend, who can tell this strange story, he's my friend, who can tell your story, singing with simplicity extraordinary, he's my friend, who can tell your story, singing with simplicity extraordinary. In all my life I've yet to meet the one who, come what may, maintains a vantage on you. Till now, in all my life I've yet to meet the one. He won't need variety, he won't need variety, he won't need variety to excel me in singing true. He won't need variety to excel me in singing true and in tune, and in tune with the curves and movements, 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 and in tune with the curves and movements of your lips, smiling forgivingly, and in tune with the curves and movements of your lips, smiling forgivingly. In all my life I've yet to meet the one who, come what may, maintains a vantage on you. Till now, in all my life, I've yet to meet the one who.
Wow, beautiful. We were hearing the beautiful intonations of Gautam Tejas Ganeshan. And what was the name of that? Is it, does it have a name?
Yeah, it has a name. It's called The One.
The One.
Mm-hmm.
Who taught you this tradition of singing? Now, you were born and raised in the United States.
Yeah,
and
in Texas.
In Texas. So was it a family member who taught you? Or?
Yeah. Well, sort of. My father sings. And I would say that my most valuable inheritance is his grasp of raga, the musical content of South Indian classical music. And I think, you know, whatever musicianship I have now, that is its anchor. But there weren't many occasions on which he directly would teach me songs. That knowledge I owe more to 30 years of open ears and study of my own. But knowing how to love music is really the lesson. That's the fuel for the rest of it. And he definitely taught me that, as well as my mother. And I think discipline in music I learned from my mother, who would always be the first in our family to wake and practice music also. And yeah, that's what I would say about that.
So your mother was also a musician, or was it?
Yeah, they both are, you know, the word amateur means lover. They both were, they loved music.
They didn't make their
livings that way.
Sure.
But I was around music quite a lot.
It's part of their, if you can say the word mundane and have it be it at its highest meaning.
Oh, yeah.
Of the mundane.
The mundane is something very important, and
right.
I don't think that's a pejorative to say something's mundane.
No, but I think in American culture we're just a bunch of thrill seekers.
Yeah.
Trying to obliterate the mundane with some kind of...
Well, maybe that's because we don't understand what the extra mundane actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think, oh, if it's mundane, it must not be great. But what is the other thing, actually? Well, it's also mundane. Anything that happens to you on a day of your life, so it's mundane. I mean...
You make a heck of a lot of sense. That's all I'm going to say. Tell us about your upcoming... shows that are outside of Sangati, in other venues. You're taking your show on the road.
Yeah, not far on the road. There are Bay Area shows. I don't like traveling that much. The next show is Punxsutawney Phil, then the Super Bowl, and then me. It's on February 2nd, Groundhog Day, Super Bowl Sunday.
Got it.
It's at Duende in Oakland, and I'm giving a concert, so you all should come listen. And I should say, you know, the way I'm singing now is sort of ad hoc, and I'm just singing my songs because I love to sing them. But the concert ensemble is kind of another thing, and as I'm sure most of the listeners of this show know, in Indian music, in the world of it, you know, it can sometimes take some time to get into things. And so if you want to have that experience, you really should come to a concert, hear the drums, hear the more sophisticated drone instrument. What I have here is my, like, I can take it on a hike and I can bike down MLK and come to KPFA, that version of it. But for the concerts, I have a tambura, which has a more rich sound. And
Very exciting.
Yeah.
So Duende Music Room in Oakland, that's at 468 19th Street. And you can go to duendeoakland.com, D-U-E-N-D-E.
Mm-hmm. It's at 19th and Broadway, you know, in downtown Oakland.
Right. Perfect. Not far from the theater there.
Mm-hmm.
Following that, if you can't make that, by the way, well, spoiler alert, not really. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Duende show in a few minutes, but don't start calling yet. I know all you speed dial people are going to. I'm just not there yet. We're relishing just this discussion, but I just want to let you know it's exciting. Avanova and Temescal.
Yes.
That's an interesting...
Avanova is, it's a music house. It's where somebody lives, and it's also a chamber music venue. And there's a lot of small jazz groups that perform there and different kinds of music. That's it. So
wow, that sounds
there,
wonderful.
Middle of the month next month.
Yeah, that's the 16th of February, and that is a matinee.
Right, that one's good
for
kids. Bring your children. It's right next to where the DMV farmers market is, which is also on Sunday, so get your veggies and come by.
But don't expect to get your license renewed on Sunday. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not a full-service concert.
It's not going to happen. So this is great. And then Brick and Mortar in San Francisco on March 11th, moving into next month, and that's a 7:30 show.
That's right. That show's in the evening, and it's a triple bill. I'm performing. Also, Classical Revolution is performing. And then Cash Pony is performing as well. So,
and you have four people playing the rindangam, which is the two-sided drum. Am I saying that word right?
Mridangam.
Mridangam.
At any concert, there would only be one. We're fortunate in the Bay Area to to be one of the centers of South Indian classical music outside of India. And so there are many people who live around here and who are concert level performers, some professional, some not professional, but still very good. And so I certainly love to give credit to that world, that without which it would be much more difficult for me to do what I do.
That's very exciting. I know that in the South Bay, there's also an incredibly vital scene, South Indian music scene as well, with house concerts, and which is a beautiful tradition, as we've been talking about. I'm speaking with Gautam Tejas Ganeshan, and he is going to be performing at Duende Music Room in Oakland. You can also go to the website Sangati
Center.com.
.org. Sorry, it's a nonprofit. .org, just like KPFA. And you can get a lot more information. It's sort of a treasure trove between your website and the Sangati Center.org website. There's much to find. At first glance, you might say, I'm not seeing what I want. And then you start perusing and you slow down and, oh, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a treasure hunt. So do you want to do another song for us?
Yeah, I could.
At this juncture?
Yeah. I'm going to do it without the headphones on, I think.
Is that a problem?
No, it wasn't a problem, but I'm going to do it without the headphones on and see what happens. So just letting you know. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Alive, alive, all I sing's alive to you. Alive, alive, all I sing's alive to you. And your gift inside's alive too. And the giving tree still survives somewhere new. Alive, alive, all I sing's alive to you, and your gift inside's alive too, and the giving tree still survives somewhere new. Alive, alive, all I sing's alive to you, and your gift inside's alive too, and the giving tree still survive somewhere new. Within the body lives a garden. 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 Growing wild roots down. Within the body lives a garden. Growing wild roots down. With leaves higher than the mind, receiving light unrefined. Within the body lives a garden, growing wild roots down. With leaves higher than the mind, receiving light unrefined. And every seed gives its energy subtly to the body, and every seed
Energy subtly to the body, feeding the steed ridden by the horse inside that's alive, alive, all life sings, alive to you. And your gift inside's alive too, and the giving tree still survives somewhere new. Thriving in soil, your skin, the harvest has secrets within, a supernatural taste that nourishes an unearthly tongue. Thriving in soil, your skin, the harvest has secrets within, a supernatural taste that nourishes an unearthly tongue. In mother's milk, first the warmth of love distilled in the body. In mother's milk, first the warmth of love distilled in the body. Then an embrace and a sigh of pleasure that you are alive, alive. All life sings alive to you. And your gift inside's alive too, and the giving tree still survives somewhere new.
The voice of Gautam Tejas Ganeshan here on KPFA's Music of the World. I'm Sally Phillips, sitting in for Joanna Monqueros. Well, it's hard to talk again after you're singing. I mean, for me to talk, I go into some sort of trance. And
I sometimes think that I should get a T-shirt made that says, "I don't like to talk after singing." And then keep it in my bag when I'm giving a concert. And then as soon as I'm done, put it on so I can, like, actually strike everything that I have to do, you know, until such a point when I can have other people do that for me and I can just talk to people. No, I like talking to people. I don't mean that. But there's just so much to do.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
It is hard. There is a lot to do, and there's a lot of minutiae and, you know, carrying and feeding of the instrument, not only your voice,
right,
but the tambura. Is that,
mm-hmm.
Yes, and kind of if you're, you know, if someone's following you and performing after you, you have to get out of the way.
That's
and
people, also true. Yeah.
People just sort of flow towards you, I would imagine. Like, wow, they want to share their revelations.
Yeah,
with
or
you.
Away from me, as the case may be. I mean, the music is not for everyone. But yeah, I mean, yeah, concert is many things. And one of the things it is social. So that's
it
part
is.
Of the course.
It's social. And in your case, what you're doing is so, it can be very revelatory and very, it's interesting because, it, as in any concert, perhaps more profoundly with what you're doing, it's you have a collective experience that you may not understand because there are aspects to that, you know, that we don't understand. When we're in a room full of people, you might just feel some kind of energy or affinity.
Mm.
It's a little bit vague. But then you have this personal response that's very deep, and it speaks right to your own experience.
Yeah, well, I just gave a concert last Saturday, and afterwards a young woman came up and handed me a little folded sheet of paper and said, "In the middle of your concert, I felt like writing something, and I don't want it anymore, so I'm going to give it to you." And so I have it. And it was just some thoughts of hers about practice. The subject was practice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a way to share where you didn't have to talk.
No, I shouldn't have said that on the air. I mean,
no,
I don't mind talking. I wouldn't say I'm a social person, but I don't mind talking.
No, no one, and I can speak for everyone listening. No one takes umbrage at that. I think, and for me, it may be the same as with you, that it puts you in a certain kind of space.
Yes.
As the listener here, I get to talk to you because here we are on the air on KPFA.
Mm-hmm.
But it puts one into a different kind of space.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that all that singing and intoning and interacting with your fellow musicians puts you in a certain kind of space, and you're bringing up something that is probably not at all unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
Probably many people who perform when they are finished with the performance, they need to maybe step back and regenerate or just have a little, you know, and of course on a practical level, as you say, you can't really do that because you got to pack up.
Yeah, right.
And move it on out.
Yeah.
But you have, in addition to all the shows you have coming up, Gautam, you also, there's something happening at the Berklee Art Museum, which I find very intriguing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, a lot of the listeners probably know that the Berklee Art Museum is moving soon, like in the next year or 2 years. So the penultimate, or one of the last exhibits there, is called The Possible. And it's a very interesting confluence of things happening. It turns the museum into a place where art is created in different ways, and there's a lot of participatory things. So what I'm doing is on the second Sundays of each month of that exhibit, which is February, March, April, May of this year, 2014, for the first half of the day, from 11 to 2, we're having Carnatic music song sessions, which is basically a... it's called bhajana, which is the word in Carnatic music for people getting together and singing. So it's experienced musicians all getting together and, you know, calling different tunes, and there'll be some drummers and some other accompanists. So that's happening. And then in the second half of those same days, I have a project called Story of This Place, which is supported by the Creative Work Fund, and it's... it essentially is a songwriting project of mine where I invite local songwriters to perform. And one of the things I'm going to be doing is printing their songs on site at the museum in advance, and then having the lyrics available to listeners at the occasion of the performances. And then later in the year, after this is said and done, I take something from what I learn from what other songwriters are expressing in the local, you know, it's called Story of This Place, so people from here. And I interact with it somehow in my own songwriting, and then perform concerts of songs that have come out of that process. And that project is in collaboration with the Subterranean Art House, where a lot of these... performers, singer-songwriters have a history of performing also. So it's kind of like a site-specific influx of information and energy into my music.
Very exciting. You're also committing your songs to print. Are you doing that as well? So is that finished or...
No.
That's like a book of poetry, almost. Like.
Yeah, it is a book of book of lyrics. I don't know. It's hard to say what it is. It's easy to say what it is. I just print my song. But there's there's a woman who has been encouraging me. She's a book artist, and she has taught me how to use a letterpress, and has a press also, and has been encouraging me to bring out an edition of my songs. And I think it's a good idea, and now that I've learned how to do it, I am doing it. You know, it's not a quick process, setting type and all that. And of course, I also have a learning curve, but it's a meditative, hands-on, attention to detail kind of thing, and even just the act of doing it enables me to have time to reflect on what I've written, and it shows my songs in a new light to myself. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to making that available at some point. I think this year it'll be done.
Well, you have a lot of projects concurrently.
Maybe so, yeah.
Well, it's very impressive. I was going to say, if you really wanted the ultimate, you know, bowing to impermanence would be to do the letterpress, print the songs, and then shred them.
Or burn them.
Burn them.
Or like...
burn them. Burn them, would maybe. Or hand shred very slowly.
Yeah.
And then scatter them into the waters of the bay.
Yeah. Well,
No, but you don't have to say.
I don't know. I'm not so ceremonial as that.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay. So, Gautam Tejas Ganeshan, let's do a ticket giveaway. For Duende Music Room in Oakland, February 2nd. That is coming at us rapid fire. It is
2 weeks.
Yeah. We'll give away. You have a pair of tickets mm-hmm. you'd like to give away.
Yes.
All right, so do you want to give out your coordinates one more time for us, and then I'll give out the phone number, and we will bid you anon and a fond farewell?
The coordinates of the occasion, of the concert?
Of your websites.
Okay. I run the Sangati Center. Website is sangaticenter.org. My own website as a musician is GautamTejasGaneshan.com. It's kind of long, but you can look me up. I'm not going to spell it. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, and it's linked in Sangati.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, find the director, about the director's corner kind of thing, and that's me. And you want me to say something else about the concert or what?
No.
Okay.
We won't make you do any more of that.
Okay.
The details, I have given them out, and I'll give them out again. A pair of tickets to the 10th caller for Gautam Tejas Ganeshan at Duende Music Room in Oakland, February 2nd. At 8:30 p.m., 19th and Broadway in Oakland, and that is with a group, a full... How many people in the group?
Four or five.
Four or five. It should be very beautiful and heartening and reverent and fabulous. And it's been great to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.